enjoy the special music today. Take your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We are continuing our study on a healthy church. A healthy church. The Apostle Paul is writing the church at Corinth about how to become a healthy church. Now, if you know 1 Corinthians, you know they weren't, but Paul's desire and the Lord's desire is that every church be a healthy church. And so he gives the instructions so that they can become a healthy church. Well, I know that that's our heart's desire, is to be a healthy church. You know, it's not the size of the church, it's the health of the church. If you have a healthy church, it will be a productive church. People will get saved in a healthy church. People will grow in Christ in a healthy church. And so we want to take the admonition and instruction of 1 Corinthians and apply it to our church and see what God has for us as well. Last Sunday night, we started 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we looked at verses 1 through 9. And we saw that a healthy church is a giving church. And the Apostle Paul starts off about, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay in store, there be no gathering when I come. And so he talks about this giving process. And we looked at the fact that God said, every one of you, is meant to be an individual thing, a personal thing. That is God's plan to fund his work on earth, is that every Christian become a part of funding his work through the agency of the local church. I believe that's the storehouse that God has for us. I don't believe it's the only avenue to give. I think there's many other ways to give and many ways to be a blessing. But it is the place where the tithes and offerings go. And then outside of that, we give as God directs and God impresses us to give. So today we're looking at verses 10 through 14. Five verses we want to look at tonight. And a healthy church is full of workers. Full of workers. In fact, this is part one of that same topic. A healthy church is full of workers. We're looking at Paul's helpers in the ministry. Paul's helpers in the ministry. Because when you get to verse 10, you're going to go to the end of the chapter, verse 24, and he's going to be mentioning the different helpers. And that's a wonderful thought. Healthy church full of workers. Praise God for the many workers here at Grandview Baptist Church. I well remember, I said this morning in the 8:30 service, I felt like it was the first sermon I had 36 years ago in the Carpenter's Hall. We were ready, but just hoped somebody would show up, you know. And I was surprised how many people showed up in the 8:30 service. And then in the 11 o'clock service, I was again surprised how many people showed up. And pleasantly surprised, should I say. But I was thinking also about workers, because that very first Sunday we started, I preached. We didn't have Sunday school. We started that the next Sunday, and so I just asked two guys if they would be the ushers and take the offering. They said they would. Then I asked a young couple. I said, "Now, would you mind next Sunday standing out here and shaking hands and welcoming people?" Now, this was pre-COVID, so they could shake hands, see, and welcome people. And then I had another middle-aged couple if they could do it. And then, we only had three people over 60 back then. I wouldn't have qualified, but only three of us back then, or three people, and so it was all young people, pretty much. And God blessed, and people would say, "Yeah, I'll do that." And so we got some ushers, we got this, we got that. Eventually, we had someone sing a special, and then we found out somebody could play the piano a little bit. And so we would sing the song they knew. And I'm just saying, what a blessing to have a church full of workers. Because you start a church and you can't wait till people just join in and say, "I want to do that. I'll do that. I'll do that. I'll work in the parking lot. I'll be a greeter. I'll sing in the choir. I'll work in the nursery." And we find that a healthy church is full of workers. Well, the Apostle Paul, he doesn't neglect these workers. He mentions these workers and he calls them by name. And I think there's a lesson all to itself right there. If you want to have a lot of workers, you got to appreciate the workers you have. I thank God for the many workers, the good men and women and teenagers that serve here at Grandview Baptist Church. They are a real blessing, not just to this pastor and not just to this church, but I believe to the cause of Christ. Well, let's start at verse 10 and read down through verse 14, and then we'll have a word of prayer and get right into the message here. Now, if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come with you, come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men? Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. And we'll stop right there. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would take the word of God and speak to our hearts. Minister to us, dear Lord, from your word. I thank you for your word this morning and how your Holy Spirit used it to bless my heart. And Lord, as we look at this passage of these workers so long ago, let us be mindful of the workers you've blessed our church with. And Lord, would you bless them each and every one? And would you help us all to some way, somehow, be workers for the cause of Christ? And we pray this now, Lord, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So we're looking at Paul's helpers in the ministry. And specifically, he's going to talk about Timothy. He's going to talk about Apollos. And then he's going to have also two verses that are going to give an encouragement and a challenge to the church at Corinth. And that we're going to see in verses 13 and 14, the two challenges that he's going to give. So let's look at these individuals. In verse 10, it says, concerning Timotheus. Now, we don't call him that. We call him Timothy. That's what Paul is going to call him. He's going to write one of his epistles to Timothy, his son in the ministry. But he was a man who was a young man who was mightily used of God and was a great helper to the cause of Christ, especially to the ministry of Paul the Apostle. In fact, he was one of his preacher boys, if you will, Timothy and Titus, and there's going to be others that are named in the scriptures here. But he says to put him at ease. Notice what he says here in verse 10. Now, if Timothy come, see that ye be with you, see that he may be with you without fear. Now, I'm not thinking that he's thinking that this church is going to start attacking him. In other words, don't harm him. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying make him comfortable. Make him fit in. He's younger than I am. He's a young man in the ministry. And you be kind to him. And you help him to feel comfortable and needed and appreciate it. And that's the essence of what he's meaning without fear. It's not saying he needs bodyguards to go around, you know, he needs protection. No, he just needs people to treat him as a man of God. The Apostle Paul said he's a worker of the Lord as I am. I'm so glad here at Grandview Baptist Church, for all these years, I've had the joy of being pastor for 36 years, and y'all have always been very, very kind to me. But may I say, I especially appreciate the kindness you show for our young men of God who are wonderful preachers. We have a wonderful staff, and you show them respect. You don't treat them like a novice. You treat them like the men of God that they are. And I appreciate that so very much. I love to hear people say, oh, that Jeremy preached such a great message last Wednesday night. It was so powerful. Or someone say, oh, that Cameron, he knocked it out of the park. Or someone say, oh, TJ was so good, and Brother Chris, and just Brother John, and the list goes on, and they all appreciate it. In fact, Every time one of our men preaches, I always hear so many people say, I enjoyed that. Man, that was good. That was wonderful. God has blessed us with many wonderful men of God. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Now, Timothy's going to come, but you treat him right. You make him feel at home. You love on him, if you will. You appreciate him. You encourage him in the Lord. And I'm so thankful for a church that does that. A healthy church does that. A healthy church doesn't say, oh, pastor's gone. We got to listen to, No. Praise God, when pastor's gone, you get the good stuff. You get young people preaching the Word of God with enthusiasm, and I am thrilled of it and excited about it. And that's exactly what a healthy church does. They back up men in ministry. And you know, we've had times, not in COVID year, but we've had times where we'll have a teenage Sunday, and the teenagers are the choir, and the teenagers are the ushers, and the teenagers are the greeters, and the teenagers are the song leaders, and the ensembles, and all sorts, and the preachers. And you know what I love about this church? It brags on every one of them. It goes up to the young preacher boys, and sometimes 14, sometimes 15, 16. Boy, you did a good job. Really? I was scared to death. Oh, you did so good. Wow, that's what a healthy church does. It encourages people who are serving Jesus. You find someone new that's a greeter, you brag on them. You see someone new in a choir, you say, man, you did good. Did you hear me? Oh, it was great. I didn't know if I knew it all. Well, I would have known you didn't because it was so wonderful. The Bible teaches us, encourage people. That's how you do it. We're not here to critique someone. You're an usher. Your tie's crooked, or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that, or you're supposed to. No. We're not here to correct them. That will happen in time. They'll just observe what they're supposed to do. But you encourage them along in the Lord. We want all these teenagers one day be serving God. Amen? Amen. I don't mean that they're all pastors and missionaries and evangelists or whatever, but I mean that whatever God calls them to do, they're serving God with their life. If they're working in a factory, they're working for God. If they work in an office, they're working for God. All of us are full-time Christians. We're not all in full-time ministry, but we're all full-time Christians, and God is using us all full-time. And that's exactly what he was saying. God tells the churches to do this with their pastor, by the way. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says, remember them which had the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So a healthy church encourages young preacher boys, also encourages their pastor. I've mentioned so many times, I was 21 years of age when I became a pastor and a church voted me in. And you know, I knew about that much about being a pastor. I mean, zero amount. I know I went to Bible college and I listened what I was supposed to do, but I had no practical experience whatsoever. But you know, our church was very, very kind. A country church over 100 years old. They were very, very kind to Miss Vicki and I. They built us a brand new house. Let us pick everything, every item in the whole house. And they were just a blessing to us. They were just very, very kind to us. Good, godly people. And you know, many, many years later, 10, 15 years later, we still had contact with some of those people in the very first church. And then later, I started church at 23 in Arkansas. And you know, 10 years later, there were members of the church still contacting us and calling us and praying for us and being so kind and gracious to us. You never go wrong by encouraging somebody that God has put into the ministry or someone who is serving God in some capacity. You just encourage them. and thank them. Our school teachers here at Grandview Christian Academy, every time you see them, you ought to say, "We are so grateful to have you. We are so thankful to have you. Thank you so much for all you do." You say, "Well, it's easy." No, it's not. It's probably one of the hardest jobs on earth. Study and grade all the papers and get everybody to listen all at the same time. But you encourage people in the Lord every time they're serving the Lord. And so that's exactly what he's saying in verse 10. Paul says Timothy is doing God's work even as Paul was doing. Now, I like that because here's what the Apostle Paul, he's equating the work of Timothy to the work that he has. Now, he's Paul the aged at this time. He's been mature in the ministry. He's been many years in the ministry. And yet, Timothy is just starting out. And he said, "We're doing the same work." And it doesn't matter whether you've been serving God for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, or someone's been serving God for 5 days, we're doing the same work. And let's honor all the workers who are serving God, all the laymen, all the men, all the ladies, all the teenagers, every young preacher that we have, every young missionary. A lot of times we'll get missionaries and they're on deputation. They're just right out of Bible college. Sometimes they haven't even been to the field. Let's don't give them the third degree. "Well, what do you know about, can you speak Taiwanese right now?" No, I can barely speak English. And don't give them the third degree and ask them about what's your developed plan to reach the 33 million people that are there or however many. Let's be very kind and gracious. And that's what the Apostle Paul, a healthy church, encourages the different workers, according to verse 10. In verse 11, he says to the church, he said, "Now don't despise him. He's a young preacher, but don't you despise him. Notice, let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren." Don't despise him. "Oh, he's just a novice." Listen, he's called of God. Some young lady singing, it's her first time. It's her first time. You just thank God for that. Someone's serving God, you encourage them in the Lord. And that's what healthy churches do, and that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. See, he's talking to a church, by the way, if you look at the first few chapters, they've had a few schisms, they had like four groups in the church. It wasn't very healthy before he wrote this epistle. But he's saying a healthy church is very gracious to its workers, very kind. And he treats them nice, and he never despises their youth. So when we have a 14-year-old one day stand up here and preach on a special Sunday, boy, you brag and brag and brag on him. He might shake, he might repeat himself, he might he might get into that. But by the way, sometimes I still get that way at my age. But let me say, you encourage that person in the Lord. And that's what a healthy church will do. You know, the Apostle Paul also said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." In other words, Timothy, I know you're young, but don't let people despise your youth. And here's what he means by that. He's not saying, don't let people look down at you because you're young. He's saying, don't let people look down at you because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Be thou an example in word. So it doesn't matter if you're 20 serving God, you still be a good example. It doesn't matter if you're in your 30s and you're serving God, you be a good example. At whatever age you are when you're serving God, you be the best example you know how to be. Don't let people despise your youth because you're not being a good example. And so for teenagers serving God, you be the best example you know how to be. Will you mess up at times? Yeah, you probably will. I did. I'm sure everybody else that served God has. But let me say, be the best example you can be. And church, God is saying to all of us, let's don't despise our youth. Let's brag on our youth. Let's praise God for our youth. Let's say thank you for serving God. And we got so many good teenagers here. And by the way, we got good teenagers from all the different countries of the world almost. And they're serving God. And I'm so proud of them. And you ought to be. And you ought to encourage them all you can. So in verse 12, he's talking about Apollos. Now, Apollos was from Alexandria, and God has used him in a great way. Apollos was asked by Paul to come to Corinth with Timothy and the brethren, but he decided he cannot come at this time, but will come when it fits into his schedule. Now, that's my little paraphrase of what verse 12 is saying. Let's look again and read verse 12. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Now, as I read that, I'm thinking, well, maybe there's a little conflict between Paul and Apollos, but that's not true at all. No, that's not true at all. He's not saying, well, I asked Apollos, but he just flatly said no. Now, that's how some people might paraphrase that, but that's not what he's saying. He said, I asked Apollos, but he didn't feel like it was God's will for his life right now to do that. But he did say, whenever he can and feels God's leadership, he's looking forward to coming and seeing you. And that's what he would say. You see, because we find other verses where the Apostle Paul talks about Apollos, and so we get to see his heart. In Acts chapter 18, it tells us a little bit about Apollos in verse 24 through 28. So let me read this to you, and you can see it up on the screen as well. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto him, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, so Apollos was instructed by Aquila and Priscilla and knew about salvation by grace and the baptism of Christ, because at first they only knew the baptism of John, baptism of repentance. And so they share more perfectly the gospel, and then having understood it, he already had a good understanding of Old Testament scripture and could teach very powerfully by the Old Testament that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, he went to Achaia and evangelized that area. The biggest city in Achaia is Corinth. It's Corinth. You see, that's one of the reasons why the church at Corinth wanted Apollos to come, because they loved him. He came and shared the gospel. And many, many people got saved. And Timothy's coming, and they're saying, well, where's Apollos? Well, don't despise Timothy. Apollos will come when he can. He wants to come back. He's going to come back. And so we see here that Apollos was a man who was mightily used of the Lord to preach the word of God with great power and authority. Paul was not being unfriendly to him, because in Titus chapter 3, verse 15, as Paul writes Titus, here's what he says, bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. In other words, make sure that they're well taken care of, and whatever they need, you take care of that. That's how much he cared for him. You take care of him. He's important in the work of God. You know, one of the reasons we ought to encourage every worker is because every worker is important to the work of God. Every Sunday school teacher, every choir member, every greeter, every teenager, every nursery worker, every school teacher, everyone in the work of God, every layman is vitally important in the work of God. God needs you. Don't ever feel like, well, why would God need me? God needs you. You say, well, I don't know how God needs me. You don't have to know how. Just know God needs you. You'll figure it out. God will let you know. But He needs you. You just keep serving Him. So in verse 12, we see that Apollos was spoken to by the Apostle Paul, or spoke about by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, and they loved Apollos very much in Corinth, in Achaia, which was the region around which Corinth was the biggest city. In verse 13, he gives this admonition in verses 13 and 14. He says, first of all, watch ye. Watch ye. Now, we might say, look at it. No, that's not what it means. Stay alert. That's the meaning of the word watch ye. Stay alert. When I was growing up in church, every once in a while, my mother would have to give me that look like, stay alert. So I couldn't catch up on my nap or anything, because my mother had a way of letting me know, stay alert, stay alert. And if you've ever raised up children in church, there's times you've had to give them that look like, you pay attention. You stay alert. You wake up. You stay alert. Now, if they're 4 or 5, you give them a crayon and let them do what they will. Just not on the hymn books, please. But it's such a joy to be able to see people alert and listening. And that is exactly what he's saying. Be alert. Stand fast in the faith. Don't back up. Don't deviate from it. He's not just talking about salvation here. He's talking about the whole body of faith. He's saying, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Now, Corinth, as we mentioned, is a very wealthy city. And because it's a wealthy city, it's also a sinful city. And so many things are going on. But Paul says, watch. Be very careful. Be on the outlook. And stand fast in the faith. Keep the faith. Keep being an example. Keep living for Jesus. Keep being a healthy church. And I would remind us, in the midst of COVID and all the things that we're going on, let's keep serving God. Let's keep living for Jesus. Let's keep sharing Jesus. Let's keep speaking up a good word for our Savior. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. I don't know all the damage that COVID has had or may have or potentially could have, but I know this. One thing COVID has done for Christians is everybody's looking for the Lord's return. Everybody, well, I think the Lord's coming back. It really doesn't matter which way people are voting. They think, well, the Lord's got to come back. You know, He's got to get us out of this mess. He's got to deliver us. He's got to. It's just, someone else said we felt like we're in the midst of the 10 plagues of Egypt, and the Lord must be coming back. There's a lot of people looking for the Lord to return, and that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because we ought to live our life like that, watching. Mark chapter 13, verse 35, 36, and 37 says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples and his followers. Watch. Now he's talking about his return. Be looking for Jesus. Be looking for Jesus. My pastor went to heaven, and he was in his mid-90s But he was every day he was looking for Jesus. Well, he didn't come in his lifetime. Well, he had a wonderful life because he kept looking for Jesus. I tell you, you keep looking for Jesus and you'll be living like you're ready for him to come. And that's what we ought to do every day of our life, is be ready for the Lord to come. And so live our lives there. And then he says, quit you like men. Now that's an old English phrase there, quit you like men. It's like quit like men. No, that's not what it means. It means equip yourself like a man. Now, ladies, I don't know how you feel about that verse. So let me tell you how a man feels about that verse. A man feels like, man up. When we were little boys and we skinned our knees, we didn't, and your father said, be a man. Okay. Our sisters got to cry and hurt and you know, and we got to look at them. But if it happened to us, we fell off our bike, it's act like a man, son. Okay, I only broke one leg, Dad. Okay. And we were taught from very little, you're a man, act like a man. And that's what Paul's saying. Equip yourself like a man. Be strong. Don't be a whiner. Don't go through a tough time. And men are like that. They can go through a tough time at work. And how was it? It was a good day. Well, I had problems at here and problems there. And this didn't work out and that didn't work out. And how's your day? It was good. We like to, you know, someone said, suck it up, buttercup. You know, you just have to man up. You just take it on the chin and keep on going. That's an attitude of being raised up as a male, as a man. Now, ladies, as I said, it may be your mother said that to you. Now, dear, put those tears away. I don't know. But for a boy, son, in fact, I had this rule for our boys. One of them would fall and injure themselves, and I would walk over there. Now, a wife will always run over there because that's their child. But a man will walk a little slower because a man is thinking, son, you're going to have to learn there's a whole lot of hurts in life. And you can't make a big deal on every single one of them because there's just too many of them. You got to equip yourself like a man. And the Apostle Paul is speaking here not to a man, not to just men, but he's speaking to a church. And let me say, as a church, you can have a lot of adversity. A church can have a lot of challenges. We have had so few of them in all these 36 years, but I have dear pastor friends and dear laymen in other churches, and I know churches who have gone through trial after trial after trial after trial. But the Apostle Paul is saying, equip yourself like a man. Toughen up. Don't be whining about it. Don't be complaining about, though things didn't go my way today. Don't do that. You just look to God. I'm happy in the Lord anyway. I was talking with some people a few weeks ago, and someone said, how are you doing, Pastor? And someone else was standing up. He said, well, I know the answer to that. He's always doing good. And I said, I'm doing good. What do you want me to say? Miss Vicky isn't treating me right. She gave me coffee, and you know, it was too hot. No, never. Equip yourself like a man and be strong. Ephesians chapter, let me share. 2 Samuel 10:12 says, be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth unto him good. You see, quit yourselves like men. Church, Let's act like godly men. Be strong. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." 32 times in Scripture, the Bible says, be strong. Moses told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. In 1 Samuel 4:9, it says, be strong and quit yourselves like men. David said to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28:20, be strong and of good courage. The prophet told Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7, be strong and courageous. And that's God's message for us as a church. I know we're in Oregon. If we're not careful, we could be, we went 7 months without getting in church. And people in Tennessee saying, well, we missed a month. And they've been in church for the last 6 months. Or there's somebody in the nation saying, well, we never missed a single service. Yeah, but you weren't in Oregon. I know we could all whine about where we are. But let's don't do that. God doesn't want us to be a whining church. He wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's God's plan for a healthy church. And then finally in verse 14, let all your things be done with charity. In other words, he's saying, let love guide all of your actions and your attitude. Let love guide all your actions and all your attitudes. When we come to church, we're a family. And we ought to let each other know we love each other. Now, on Sunday morning, I love preaching. On Sunday morning, I really do. But if there's anything I love more than preaching on Sunday morning, I love going around and just saying to someone, I sure appreciate you. Boy, you're a godly person. I sure do love you. You're a great person. I'm just honored that we get to go to church together. You see, because we're really here to love each other, not preach at each other. And every time we meet, we ought to actively be engaged in trying to love each other. Life has enough hurts. Life is full of hurts. But church shouldn't be a place we hurt each other. Church should be a place we love each other. I wish I could, you know, do away with all the hurts of life, but I can't. But let me tell you what a mother will do. A mother will kiss your hurts. Well, let me kiss it. It'll make it all better. Oh, I got hurt right here. Well, let me kiss it. It'll all be better. And your mother would, I don't think she'd kiss the scrape, but she'd kiss close to it. And all of a sudden, how's it feel? It feels better, Mama. It feels that little kiss. And you know, when you love on each other, I can't undo all the hurt that life gave you this week. But I can help you to forget a lot of that hurt if I can show you as a Christian that I love you. And every one of you have that power. Every single one of you have that power. It doesn't have to be a preacher or a staff member or a Christian school teacher or a choir member. You just have to be a Christian who loves one another. And that's what God wants us to do. And that's exactly what he's saying. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 is our last verse to look at. And it says, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? It's the bond of perfectness. You haven't arrived until you've learned to love. And so he says to the church, love each other. Now keep in mind, first few chapters, it shares all the strife they had. He says, love each other. And we want to be a healthy church and we want to love each other. We're never going to see eye to eye. We're different people. But we can all love each other where we're at. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. church that's healthy is full of good workers, full of people who love God, full of people who serve the Lord. There may be someone watching and they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. Oh, how I pray that tonight they would just invite Christ into their life and just in a matter of a few words, admit to the Lord you're a sinner and ask Him to save you, and He will. But for the rest of us, believers who are here and believers who are watching online, let's take the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let's equip ourselves as men. Let's serve God without whining. And let's put on charity. Let's love each other. Let's speak words of kindness. Let's show love and appreciation to each other. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts. I pray You'll do what only You can do. Lord, I believe that we all love each other. Sometimes, Lord, we're not as conscious to show that love. And I pray that You'd help us in that regard. Help us to be thoughtful. Help us to be expressive with our words to let people know we love them. Help us to encourage the workers You've blessed our church with, just like Timothy and Apollos. Let's be fans of every worker. Lord, we love You, and we thank You for the health that You alone can give a church. And we appreciate what You've done in our hearts, in our lives, and in our church. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. A joy to have each one of you here with us tonight as well.